Well, now in John's Gospel, chapter 10 that we read earlier, we find the name, one of the names of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Saviour. And it is this one where he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. John 10, verse 11. And many of the names of the Lord Jesus Christ show us clearly how actually to become a Christian, how to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, how to have our sins forgiven. As a godly Scottish minister, now with the Lord, a man called Douglas MacMillan, and he told a story, a true story of something that happened to him during his days as a student at Edinburgh. He trained for the pre-church ministry. Now, Douglas had been brought up on a hill farm at a place, I can't remember the name of it, but it was in North Argyllshire. He spent the first 12 years of his working life, after he left school, working as a shepherd, looking after sheep, from age 13 to 25. He left school early in those days, boys, and wonder if you're wondering about that, when he would have left school, but yes, age 13. So for these years, he looked after sheep. And during these times, he became a Christian. And he began to learn many things about his relationship with the Lord God and with his people through what he observed in the relationship between him and his sheep. So he had been at college for 3 years at Edinburgh, and he came home to the farm in North Argyllshire. And his brother now looked after the sheep at home on the farm, and together they were looking after some sheep that had been separated from their mothers, the ewes that is, and they'd been put into another pen. And he stood there admiring the sheep, looking at them, seeing what a good job his brother had done, with his arms hanging loosely by his side. Suddenly, he became aware of a particular sheep nuzzling into his hand. A sheep where he looked down and saw a sheep 5 years old, a ewe. And for 6 months, Douglas had looked after this sheep as a little lamb just after it had been born, taking it home to the farm, feeding it with a bottle every so often. And although that sheep had gone back to the hills after 6 months, whenever he went back to the farm, this particular ewe would come back to him. The other sheep, they knew their shepherd, but they wouldn't come close to Douglas. He'd been away, but this one knew him. This sheep had not seen Douglas for many years, for 3 years after he'd been away. She lived on the hill miles away from the farm. So the brother had been shepherding for 3 years. And yet he looked around, and there she was, one that remembered him. He was thrilled. Why was that? It's because the sheep knew him, and she was letting him know that she did know him, and came and snuggled into him. And in the gospel passage that we read earlier in John 10, we heard the Lord Jesus Christ proclaiming himself to be the good shepherd of the sheep. Who was he speaking to? He was speaking to Jews, to Jewish people in his community. Jews had often been called the flock of God through Old Testament scriptures. Several psalms refer to them like this in the poetic way. Psalm 77, thou leddest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. In the next psalm, 78, he made his own people to go forth like sheep and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. And the people who are led by a protective shepherd are called a flock. It's a beautiful metaphor to illustrate God's care for his own people. Historically, the people of Israel were God's own people, his chosen people. He led them out of Egypt. He led them through the wilderness to the land of Canaan. They were his flock. He was their shepherd. Psalm 80, give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth. And when Jesus spoke that day when it was winter in the temple courts, he was first of all speaking to God's flock. He had something to say to them because Sadly, bad shepherds had come among them and taught them wrong things and had neglected them. They were mistreating the flock. What do we know of this mistreatment? Actually, if you've got your Bible open at John 10, back in John 9, you'll find an example of the bad treatment of the Jewish shepherds. Jesus passed by, verse 1, saw a man which was blind from his birth. The disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did this sin? This man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, that is, to become blind, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. And as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. When he thus spoken, he spat on the ground, made clay of the spittle, and anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is, by interpretation, sent. And he went his way, therefore, and he came seeing. His eyes were opened. And then later on in the chapter, verse 13, in chapter 9, they brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime, or formerly, was blind. And it was the Sabbath day, when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto him, Then he put clay on my eyes, and I washed, and do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, This man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. And this example here of the Jews' attitude to Jesus' compassionate work of bringing sight to the eyes of a man who was born blind. These Pharisees were supposed to be the shepherds of the sheep. We read those songs about them. But they abused this man who was healed. And verse 34, chapter 9 says, Thou hast altogether born in sins, do you teach us? And they cast him out of the synagogue. They got rid of him out of the place where he could worship God in that Jewish way. They cast him out. They abused him. They questioned his parents, questioned him, questioned them about their belief in Jesus. Simply for believing in the one who had given him sight, he was cast out. And he said, Once I was blind, but now I can see. Now I would believe in someone who gave me sight if I was blind, wouldn't you? But it was a shameful way that these shepherds treated God's sheep. And so next we see the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the good shepherd, first of all, comforting the man born blind. Jesus found him, verse 35, and said to him, Do you believe on the Son of God? The man asked him, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? Jesus said to him, You have both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. This man's eyes were opened, not only to see sight that he hadn't had before, but to see Jesus. And Jesus can give us sight. He can give us understanding. He can give us the truth about himself. So having seen that, this shameful way that they treated God's sheep. Next we see the Lord Jesus, the Good Shepherd, coming to tell these people about the Good Shepherd and what a Good Shepherd is. This shepherd knew about how to be a shepherd and what good shepherding was all about. And so coming into chapter 10 that we read together, it unfolds a glorious truth about the one who has become our shepherd. Our shepherd. Now the Jews knew the facts about the shepherd of Israel. They knew Psalm 23, which I recited part of it at the beginning of our service. But also in Isaiah 40, verse 9, O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up to the high mountain, O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid, say unto the cities of Judah, Behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with a strong hand, his arm shall rule for him, his reward is with him, and his work before him, and then this, and he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. Feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs in his arms, and carry them in his bosom, close to his heart, and so gently lead those that are with young. Now the Jews had this in their scriptures. They understood what a shepherd was, and the shepherd who would come. Jeremiah then also says in Jeremiah 31, the word of the Lord, hear it, O ye nations, declare it in the isles afar off, and say, he that scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd does his flock. And so the Jews were familiar with the scriptures telling them that they were God's people, Jehovah's people, and his flock, and that a shepherd would come. But when the real shepherd did come and told them that he was the good shepherd, you'll find it there in verse 11 of chapter 10, I am the good shepherd, they would know what that meant. The good shepherd who would come. I am the good shepherd. What did they do? They didn't believe him. You can't be the good shepherd. We believe certain things about the good shepherd in these prophecies. Of course we do. But how is it that you're the good shepherd? They would not believe. And so what is the Lord Jesus Christ communicating to us as he uses himself as an illustration as the shepherd? Well, a shepherd, you know, is an active, caring, hard-working, self-sacrificing person. Shepherds work long hours, utterly committed to their animals. Let's focus on three areas of the divine shepherd's ministry, our Jesus' ministry. There's three of them. The shepherd calls his sheep, the shepherd knows his sheep, and the shepherd saves his sheep. And we find it all here in John's Gospel, chapter 10. I wonder if the boys will be able to discover that if they've got their Bibles open at John 10 and see if they'll find this truth of the shepherd calling, knowing, and saving his sheep. And in verse 3 of John 10, what do we read? The sheep hear his voice, this good shepherd, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. Here's our first thought about the divine shepherd. The shepherd calls his sheep. Now the call of God to his people is like the calling of a shepherd when he's ready to move them on to fresh pastures or to lead them to a nice pool of cold water that they need for drinking or to return to the sheepfold for the night. He uses his voice to call them. And so it is with us. For us, we have a call from God. He calls us by grace. God is described as him that called you into the grace of Christ, Galatians 1:6. But he calls with a call that is unmistakable and is what we call irrevocable. It cannot be taken back. Romans 11, verse 29. For the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. They can't be taken back once he calls. There is something very special about a call from the Lord God. And once God has called, he never changes his mind, nor does he withdraw his call. And a third thing about this shepherd is that God calls us into fellowship with his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And that scripture helps us to see that becoming a Christian is not just an option that we have that we could perhaps choose or select and decide as a possible option in life. No, because becoming a Christian is the response of a soul in response to the call of God. He calls us with a purpose, and that purpose is to have our sins forgiven, yes, but also to be called into the church, to be part of the bride of Christ, in the fellowship of his Son. So we're called into the fellowship with his Son. And then we're called to be conformed to the image of his Son in the Lord Jesus Christ, conformed to the image of God. That is us, unholy, sinful people, called to one hope and called into his kingdom and glory. And then we're called to a holy life. That's the sort of callings that we find here. Paul writes to Timothy, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. And this gracious call of this great shepherd of the sheep is what is called the effectual call. An effectual call. It has an effect. It is effective. Effective. Now, there are many young people, and some not so young who are at home. And maybe it's approaching a meal time. You guys might be able to understand this illustration now. Perhaps you're involved in something very absorbing and something that you don't want to leave. You might be in your bedroom, you might be having a computer game, you may be doing something that you really don't want to stop doing because it's absorbing, it's perhaps entertaining you, and you don't want to stop. But it's meal time, it's lunch time. And the call comes, come down for yourself for your dinner. Come down. The meal's prepared. It's hot, it'll spoil. It's not eaten soon. Perhaps the one who's calling calls and calls. Dinner time, it's ready. I have to confess that sometimes I'm not always ready when my wife calls me for a meal. But nevertheless, we have to be ready. Well, we call and call, and while the food cools and gets colder and colder, no one appears for this lovely meal that's been prepared. The call, perhaps it's from the mother, has not been effectual. It hasn't been effective because you haven't come. You haven't come down. Family has not arrived. So, what does she do? Well, she sends someone, perhaps with a louder voice, perhaps it's the dad, with a booming voice and a little more authority, and that does it. The children hear that voice has got something about it that says, I've got to go, I've got to stop. And the call then, as you arrive for the meal, has become effective, effectual. And there are many calls that can be heard. Calls on our time, calls on our money, calls for our help. But when God calls our souls to come to him, he always makes sure that it's effectual. God has a way of making himself heard. It could be that he's making himself heard right now. And he calls us at a particular time. I can remember hearing about the Lord Jesus from my earliest days, as soon as I could start understanding, into Sunday school, into young people's Bible class, listening. I could hear about Jesus, but it was not until I was well into my adult life that I then heard his call. It was different. I'd never heard that call before. And it was a call to do something. It was a call to repent of my sin and recognize the burden that I had in my soul for my sinfulness that I was so ashamed of. And the Lord brought this realization to me. It was part of that call to repent and to turn to him and to seek his face and ask for his forgiveness, to plead that he would indeed forgive me. And I can ask us this morning a question. Have you heard the shepherd's voice calling you? Would you recognize his voice if you heard it? It's not going to be an audible voice, not going to be something that comes out like through a loudspeaker or through a computer volume or a loudspeaker, whatever. No, it's not that sort of call. But he calls nevertheless. And that call can be sometimes drowned out by the other voices that are clamoring for your attention. It can be work, it can be family, it can be leisure, it can be your friends. Don't listen to that voice of God calling you, they say. And the devil will make sure that you don't hear. He doesn't want you to hear. So don't expect to hear an audible voice in your physical ears. That's not how he calls. You will hear God's voice calling you when you read his word. You will read what Jesus has said about himself, being a good shepherd who is ready to save and to keep his sheep. It's in the Bible, in this book. And this book says, repent and believe the gospel. It says, unless you repent, you'll perish. And it says also tenderly, this tender shepherd says, come unto me, all ye who are labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, and you shall find rest to your soul. That's the call that you could hear if you're willing to hear. If you want to hear, Vernon Hyam wrote a lovely hymn that we sometimes sing. Have you heard the voice of Jesus softly pleading with your heart? Have you felt his presence glorious as he calls your soul apart? With a love so true and loyal, love divine that ever flows from a Saviour, righteous, royal, and a cross that mercy shows. That's number 473 in your hymn book, and it's worth meditating on sometime. So, firstly, the shepherd calls his sheep. He calls them. Have you been called yet? Secondly, the shepherd knows his sheep. And two verses in this same chapter, chapter 10, shows us how the Lord Jesus Christ knows his sheep. Look at verse 14. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep, and am known of mine. And then verse 27 further down, my sheep hear my voice. They hear my voice. And then what? I know them, and they follow me. They hear my voice when I call. Oh, but you might say, how can God know me? I'm just an ordinary man or a woman. I'm an ordinary boy, ordinary girl. How can God know me? Surely amongst all the, 7 billion people on this planet? How can God possibly know me as an individual with my soul, my individual soul? He can't possibly know me. One of the Old Testament prophets said this in Nahum chapter 1, verse 7. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them. He knows them that trust in him. When the Lord Jesus Christ met some of his disciples for the first time, a very interesting incident happened. It's recorded in the first chapter of John. Andrew brought Peter to Jesus. And then the Lord found Philip, a friend of Andrew and of Peter. And then Philip found his friend Nathanael and told him about the Lord Jesus. But Nathanael, he had some doubts, but was invited. And here was the invitation: come and see. Come and see Jesus. We found him. Come and see him. Come and see for yourself. And then verse 47 of chapter 1 says, Jesus saw him coming. Jesus saw him coming. Nathanael, that is. And Nathanael said, how do you know me? I've never met you before in my life. How do you know me? And Jesus replied something very interesting. He said, I saw you and knew you before you came to me. That is what Jesus does. Not only does he call us, but he knows us even before we know him. He knows his own people because they are those for whom he died. The Bible tells us that he knew his sheep from when? From the foundation of the world. This is the sure foundation every true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ can have. Not that they know him, but that he knows them. That he knows me before ever I knew him. 2 Timothy 2:19 tells us that nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Yes, Christ's sheep know him. They know the shepherd. Why? Because he knew them first and drew them to himself by his grace. I wonder if you know of this illustration of Psalm 23. You may be familiar with it. There was once a party going on of adults. This is an adult-type party. And there was various guests there. There was a famous actor there. And there was also an old minister there as well. And so some people knew that the actor was there and they thought they'd get their money's worth out of him. They said, we'd like you to recite something. Would you recite something for us in this big function in a big house? And he agreed. And he asked if the people there had any special request, anything they'd like him to recite. Obviously a very accomplished actor. So the old minister that was there, he started a simple request. Please could you recite Psalm 23? Well, there was a strange look on the actor's face. And then he said, I will, on one condition, that afterwards you, my friend, do the same, asking the minister to recite it as well. Well, the actor was impressive. He did a perfect performance. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, and so on. How impressive it was. The people were spellbound and on the edge of their seats. And afterwards, a great burst of applause. People clapping as he sat down. And then the minister rose with an unremarkable voice. His tone was not faultless. But when he had finished, there was another dry eye in the room. People were moved to hear, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Maketh me to lie down in green pastures, leads me beside the still waters, and so on. The actor rose again, and his voice was quivering now. He said, ladies and gentlemen, I reached your ears and your eyes, but this preacher has reached your hearts. And how did he do that? Simply because I knew the psalm. But he knows the shepherd. He knows the shepherd. The only way that the minister could come to know the shepherd was that the shepherd first knew him. And so when I asked this morning whether you know the shepherd, and the real question is, does he know you? And has he revealed himself in all his glory to you? That's what you need. You need to know that he knows you. When he does that, you'll be able to do nothing else but to confront your sin and turn from it. To come to the Lord Jesus and say, if you are my shepherd, then I have to repent of my sin. I have to turn from my sin. I have to lay myself at your feet, at the foot of your cross. You'll wish to repent of ever refusing him in the past. Perhaps even pretending to be a Christian, because that can happen. And you'll desire him to be your Lord and your master, and most of all, your shepherd. And our selfishness and our greed and our immoral thoughts and our thefts, the things that we've taken that are not ours, our coveting, we become convicted and we become uncomfortable when the shepherd reveals himself to us in our souls. And we're feeling immediately, here is someone that knows me, and I'm surprised, and it's Jesus. I wonder if this actual experience has happened to you, any of you. I hope it has. Is it a description of your life? Is it happening to you? Certainly the Lord Jesus Christ is the shepherd, and he calls his sheep, and he knows his sheep, and thirdly, the shepherd saves his sheep. He saves his sheep. And according to the words of the Lord Jesus in John 10, a true shepherd is prepared to lay down his life for his sheep. And this is how much he loves them. He's the one who protects them from the wolves and the bears and the lions, just like David did as he looked after his sheep. And he protected them from falling down cliffs and getting stuck in bogs and many other dangers. And at night in the sheep pen, he'll lay across the entrance to the fold to stop the sheep from getting out into the dark, but also lies against that sheepfold door to stop any dangers getting in. And that's what the Lord meant by describing himself as the door in verses 7 and 9. And if we're to be saved from the dangers of this life and the ultimate danger of eternal death, separation from God, you need the only one who can save you, and it's the shepherd. Jesus Christ. You all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Isaiah even describes us as sheep who have gone astray. And we discover that he's the only shepherd able to save us. How do we know that? Because there's no other, there's salvation in no other. None other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. You know, this shepherd not only was prepared to die for his sheep. He said he would, but he actually did die for his sheep when he died on the cross at Calvary in the place of sinners. He died that we who are sinners might be forgiven for the sins that we've done, suffering the death penalty on our behalf, going to the cross to suffer that awful pain. This gentle shepherd died a cruel and painful death. Why? So that his sheep would live forever. And then he rose again from the dead to ensure they'd be justified, which means to be declared righteous. A wonderful thought by God the Creator. And forgiveness is ours because the shepherd saves his sheep, and he's already done it. He did it 2,000 years ago at Calvary. Yes, you've probably heard it lots of times before, but do you know it in your own soul, in your own heart? Because he died for all of that flock, made not only of Jews, but for those from the other fold. And the other fold is us, Gentiles, non-Jews. I don't think there's any Jews here. But there are people from the Jewish flock and there's a people from the Gentile flock. He has sheep from every tribe and nation, and they will all come, the ones that he has loved and known from the foundation of the world. And so I ask again, has the shepherd died for you? You may not feel that you need this salvation, but you do. Because all of us, are like sheep wandering and going our own way. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ is this wonderful shepherd who's ready to save all who come to him. And you can ask the question, has he called me? Am I called? Does Jesus know me? Some of our friends, our young friends, might be looking at the Bible, remembering it, memorizing it. But do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Has he saved you today? Or may it be that he will know you. 1 Peter 2 says, "For hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving an example, that we should follow in his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. But when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who in his own self bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness. For ye were," says Peter, "for ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." And we must, of all things, trust this shepherd, this dear shepherd, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We may be following the sheep, that is, the others around us who are doing their own thing. We need to follow this shepherd. We need to know him. We need to know that he knows us and died for us, who loved us so much that he would give himself as he did. Amen. Let's pray together.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, we thank thee for being that shepherd that thou art. We thank thee for this simple illustration. Lord, we find nothing complicated in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, in the salvation that he has procured for us. For those of us who believe, we are so glad to be sheep in his fold, so glad to have been saved by his grace, so glad to know him and to have him know us. And we want to know him even better, day after day after day. Grant it to us, O Lord God, that we might know thy lovely Son, thy shepherd Son, who has shown us how easy it is, and yet sometimes how difficult, to turn away from the world and turn to him. O grant thy blessing as we meditate on these things, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Amen.
So let's sing our last hymn for this morning, hymn number 395. 395. Shepherd divine, I once relieve, in this our evil day, To all thy tempted followers give the power to watch and pray. 395. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.
Amen.